What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk. I'm your host, Tim.
I'm Chris, and today we're coming to you live from San Clemente, California at the Darkroom Labs Film Paeda. This is very exciting. To get it started, I wanted to kick it off to Phil so he can explain to our listeners at home what this is and who he is and what we're all doing here. So, Phil.
Good morning. Thanks for coming, guys. We have a great panel set up this morning, some pretty illustrious folks. The Film Photography Paeda here in San Clemente over this first weekend of March was dreamed up a couple years ago with Juan Martinez, Take Kayo, myself, and just started, and Trev Lee, of course, just started rambling on about, oh, we got to start getting together, and one thing led to another, and a couple years later, here we are with at least 150 strong and a lot of people wanting to come that couldn't quite make it. So we're excited to try to keep moving the Paeda forward. I know it's kind of a funny name. It's hard to pronounce, hard to say, really hard to spell. But the basis of it is, you know, education and sharing knowledge and ideas and sharing community. And I can't imagine a stronger network and community of people than the analog film photography community.
That's right.
Especially, you know, over the last 48 hours, seeing and talking to everybody, it's pretty stimulating. So we're excited to be here and help move this along and from the darkroom and sponsor the Paeda. We're excited that we're able to gather all these speakers together again. So we hope to continue on. We'll be doing some YouTube broadcasts and some other things of elements and, you know, speeches from the show, the workshops, and so forth. So thank you all for coming, and I'll turn it back over to you so you can talk to these
people, Phil,
that everybody wants to listen to.
Yeah, well, thanks, Phil. I guess we can start with some of our awesome speakers. We can say, so Matt Day's here with us. Say hi, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
So Matt, can you tell us what's been your favorite thing about the event so far?
Well, it's my first time in California, so that's been cool just finally get out here. But more than anything, there's so many people here that I've either talked to a lot online and never met in person, or people that I've never talked to, but they kind of know my whole life because they've watched the videos and they've seen photos of me and my family and stuff. So this is sort of my extended family. So just being out here with so many people and just, a lot of positivity out here. It's awesome.
Especially with the sun. The sun broke today.
The sun
you can
out,
tell
yeah.
like everybody's mood is completely different today than it's been.
It's been lifted a bit.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, I'm going to bounce it over on this side of the table. We have also have Mike Rosso from Film Photography Project. How's it going, Mike?
Hey, everybody. I'm very, very pleased to be here. And I'm here with Matt Mirage.
Oh, hey, how's it going, guys?
And it's kind of weird because, you know, we have 150 people here, but I'm also talking to all those people at home.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So, hey, people at home. My name is Michael Rosso. I founded the Film Photography Podcast 10 years ago. We're celebrating our 10th year.
Woo!
And yeah, congrats.
Thank you. The project, it's film and only film. It's hands-on cameras. It's film education, how to shoot, how to develop, questions, comments.
Matt's laughing.
Mike, they asked you what you thought of the weekend.
Oh, hey. I'm really enjoying myself.
Man.
The talks have been great, getting a little deeper insight into everybody's style, process, and then just kind of, you know, beers and cameras zing it up with everybody after. I didn't know there were so many breweries so close.
Yeah, right, exactly. Mike Padua, can you give us some insight on the weekend as well?
Yeah. It's just been great getting to meet everybody, people that I've been talking to for years, people whose work I've been looking at for years, people who I've been listening to, like the FPP guys and Analog Talk for years, and just getting to finally meet them in person, and just kind of realizing that people are just human beings, you know, like, and we all have like one, we're all super different, but we all have one thing in common.
Yeah.
And it's just been pure photo geekery, you know, and it's been a lot of fun.
It's really funny too, because since we've been here, we've been counting the amount of people that have been on the show, and it's just like, oh yeah, that's right, Andre was on the show. That's right, Dave. You know, it's crazy. This community is it really opened my eyes this weekend, because I'm, you know, from Nashville, and it's not like this in Nashville. You know, I have to like beg people to go out and shoot with me. So this was, I'm still kind of like goosebumped up from this weekend. What about you, Jonathan?
Yo. Oh, this weekend was fun. I mean, surrounded by a bunch of people that all shoot film. I don't know. It's just like up where I'm from, there's probably only like, what, Mike, 10? Maybe 10 or more at best, just getting together. But like surrounded by like 150 people, it's nerve wracking. But it's dope to meet people that I've been watching, like Matt Day, Timothy, and these guys, just listening to their voices. It's like now you see their faces. It's like, wow, you're awesome, dude. Yeah.
Still, when Mike said hi to me on the first day when we got here, it just like took me to another place, because, you know, I've been listening to the podcast for years. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
I was just blown away by that. It's like, wow. Okay. Cool.
Sorry, guys. I'm nervous.
Thank you.
I'm nervous. I was going to say it. I also want to talk to Megan. You did an awesome presentation yesterday.
Everyone.
Can you kind of introduce yourself to our listeners, because they haven't seen the awesome stuff that you do, and just kind of give your thoughts on the event as well?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm Megan. You might know me as Megan Shoots Film, maybe. But I do a lot of underwater and surf photography. It's been a pretty amazing weekend so far. I think the thing that I've kind of taken away from it is I've been so blown away by everyone's photography with their families and in the home, and that makes me want to maybe stop harassing the sea creatures for a day or two and take some photos with my friends and family. But it's been really amazing to meet all of you guys and learn a huge amount. I feel like my head is so full of knowledge right now. So, yeah. Thank you.
We got at the end of the table over there. We have Mike from Ilford. Can you say hi for us, Mike?
I'm Mike Bain, and I'm the U.S. rep for Harman Technology. We're the Ilford photo people, and there's nothing like being around a bunch of film photographers to get you motivated to get out there shoot, and it's been a great weekend. Nothing wrong with being in Southern California in early March, that kind of thing. So it's been great, and it's been nice meeting everybody, and appreciate the chance to be here.
Yeah, so if you get a chance, check out Mike's little talk that he did when it hits YouTube or wherever it goes, because some of those graphs and stuff just was mind-blowing. Like, it's still gearing in my mind right now. It's a good thing, because I think we talk about on the show all the time about how, like, we really don't know what the future of film holds, because we keep seeing, you know, films disappear or raise in price. Or when you go to an event like this, it's a good sign, I think.
You and I were talking about it yesterday as the presentation was going on, and those of us who have like YouTube channels and podcasts. We try to get people more into it mm-hmm. and to get out there and shoot it. So to see the graphs that Mike shared
yeah.
talking about where people were finding the information and seeing that those platforms are where the majority of people are getting information now, that was really encouraging because, you know, I know I try to do that sort of thing, but yeah. you always kind of wonder, is this working? Do people really get anything out of this? You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it was cool to see that all these years that it's actually making a bit of an impact, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Really encouraging. Yeah, it was really encouraging.
So Juan, I'm going to kick it over to you because you haven't said anything yet. You're at the other side of the table. Can you introduce yourself to our listeners at home?
Yeah.
Don't know? You've been on our show, but...
Right, well, a year ago, I think.
Yeah.
I'm Juan Martinez. I'm one of the founders of Beers and Cameras, and we have chapters like kind of all over the globe, I guess. Seattle, LA, Sacramento, Phoenix, Calgary. We have a new Minnesota chapter. And in London, we have
that's crazy.
People helping out there. So, yeah, it's been really fun. I stumbled upon BNC, right? Mm-hmm. It was created very organically. And seeing everybody here and seeing so many people that I saw at the first Pi Idea event, and reconnecting with them has been really cool. And then seeing family and friends from SD and San Diego and Sacramento here. And I feel like we're all just one big family. We really are. We have so many, all of our interests are same. We align and we're all, like mentioned, we're all very different, but we're all very much the same. And I don't know where I'm going with that, but yeah, it's been amazing.
Did you imagine that one day you'd have chapters like on the other side of the world when you first started this thing? I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, no, never. I mean, honestly, like we were a small group and we just kind of grew organically. And I think by not having that kind of pressure on yourself or thinking, oh, I'm going to be this or that,
right?
It just grows. And then I think I'm just more thankful that it's grown this way without pushing it or forcing it in any
right.
anyway. And getting to meet all you guys, and it's just been, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, last night reminded me of, you know, Christmas at grandma's house, like that community of like family, you know what I mean? Like it's cousins that you don't see all the time, and you get to like finally talk to them in person and stuff. Like that's what it reminded me of last night. And it's like, you know, it was kind of sad that I didn't get to talk to, you know, Uncle Bob as long as I wanted to. Kind
right,
of thing.
Exactly.
But it's just like such a crazy thing. And the fact that you guys do that twice a week is...
Yeah, I'm jealous.
Like, yeah, I'm so jealous.
Well, yeah. It's funny because me and Pacholo and Chris, we were on this text, and we text like every day. And we're like, oh, we're excited. I'll see you tomorrow. And honestly, I don't even talk to them at the meetups because so busy. Like we say, hi, what's up, as we're walking past each other, but we're so busy meeting other people. Yeah, it's funny how that works out.
I think every town needs one.
Yeah, thank you for
get the starter pack.
Like I said, I've had a lot of Ohio people reach out and say, while you're there, I need you to pull Juan aside.
Yeah.
Kind of twist his arm into an Ohio chapter. So.
Oh, I'm down. Especially, yeah.
I mean, of course, I need more things on my schedule.
I was right?
I was going to say.
Still, I would carve out some time for that.
Okay.
For sure.
Uh-oh. Cool. You heard it here first.
That's pretty cool.
We got him on the spot.
I'll visit whenever I come home.
There we go.
Yeah. People won't know the difference.
We can take shifts. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They won't be able to tell the difference.
Trev, do you mind introducing yourself to our listeners at home as well and give your thoughts on the weekend?
Yeah, no problem. My name's Trev. Trev Lee with the Darkroom. So I've kind of had to behind the scenes seeing how all this was coming together and all the work that Phil, his family, Take and Juan, and just talking with and everyone. And it's been kind of last year was thrown together really fast. This one we had more time, but it still went really fast.
Yeah.
And came here really, I don't know, but it's just amazing to see how everything came together, hearing everyone talk. Like everyone that attended was awesome and really interactive. It made it easy for us to talk in front of all of you guys because you guys are just so welcoming and kind and everything. Because, you know, all of us were pretty nervous to speak in front of you.
100%.
Yeah. myself included.
But, you know, it was once it started, it was really easy just because it's a great group of people. And it's been inspiring. Actually, it was cool meeting Matt. I have a daughter now. She's 4 months old.
So, she's like, adorable.
It's been cool seeing, you mentioned it, Megan, saying, like, photographing family. And I already do that a little bit, but it's been cool. cool seeing everyone's style and how they do that, and it's been inspiring to do that more and be a little more intentional about it as well.
That's kind of what it's all about, right? Yeah. Isn't it? I think that's why we do it.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they have a son who's still, I believe he said he was pretty young. I don't know if he was still a newborn, but pretty young. And he was like, you know, how do you find the time to go out and make photos? And I said, you know, well, the large majority of what I shoot right now is just family, because that's what I'm around all mm-hmm. the time. And I said, you know, there's still times where I want to go out and shoot different things. And for me, at least, you know, I was kind of talking about our schedule and how my wife and I kind of, I mean, we have to schedule things in advance where I'll say, okay, I need to carve out some time just to go and shoot, walk around town, walk in the woods with my camera, and just escape a little bit. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? That I think everybody kind of needs
totally,
that.
Yeah.
And it's not always easy when you've got kids, for sure, but just making the time for it. But, you know, if that means any other personal work is kind of on hiatus at the moment because family's got things going on, that's just sort of a priority, you know, and it's yeah. still bringing your camera and still making photos. It might not be something for a project or a zine or a book or a gallery, anything like that. But if you're still shooting, regardless of what it is, I think that's just what's most important. But yeah, definitely trying to schedule, you know, time for yourself can be challenging for sure.
Well, that's something I noticed. I mean, with everyone that's talked here, it seems like their photography has became about their life. And yeah. I think that's why a lot of you guys have people that gravitate towards your photography, and it's because it's unique to you mm-hmm. and yeah. it's a kind of a glimpse into another world that's not your own. So, you know, it's engaging, it's a story yeah. and like stories will always win over content alone.
Yeah.
I
think for me, one reason I follow other photographers, or even, I mean, in a way it's just other people. I don't really think about it as like other photographers, but I enjoy following other people online that I feel like I can either relate to them yeah. or like if there's that human side of them and that personality, whatever their family is, or, you know, having something that I can actually like grab onto where there's another person on the end of it, that's what kind of keeps me engaged with other people. And that's kind of why I share what I share. You know, I'm another person just like everybody else. So I think if there's something there for people to grab onto, they can actually feel something there, you know?
Sure. Well said.
We have Jonathan on this side of the table as well. We haven't talked to you yet. King James.
I thought you did talk to me.
did you introduce yourself?
We want to hear more.
Okay. How about what's something you've learned this weekend? Can you kind of...
This weekend, yeah. something that I've learned.
Or been inspired by.
I was talking to Ed Condi. He's out there about...
Ed,
where is he at? There he is. Talking about 1600 color film with like, you know how like a Fuji Natura now, 1600 is like ridiculously expensive. So we're talking about like different options, like for trying to get a 1600 ISO film. And he told me, you know, why not trying to push Lomo 800 to 1600? And I was like, you know, I've never really had great results pushing 800 to 16. And he was telling me about how like you can do like a, what do you call it? Like a pre-wash and like rodinal push before you develop in C41. And it was interesting to me because I never thought of that.
Wait, what?
Yeah. It's like, what?
Mine just...
Like rodinal black and white chemicals. I don't know exactly what it is, but you do it for like 10 minutes and then you develop it like normal C41. And I guess Ed was saying like it does the push for you.
Ooh.
And does the lifting.
Where was I during that talk?
Yeah.
I shoot Lomo 800 all the time.
We were having that talk over a bowl of Fruit Loops in the breakfast thing, because they were like, I got a video of them talking about rodinal,
nice.
and like Ed was just eating some Fruit Loops and so was I, and they were talking about pushing film and just, you know, like those kinds of talks surrounded us this
yeah,
weekend
yeah.
right? Everybody yeah. was talking about something that yeah. they were sharing techniques and you know, like looking at each other's cameras, and you know, it's just like it's been just everywhere, literally everywhere.
Yeah, I definitely have to fill my notebook when I get on the plane tonight.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us and being here. Can you give our listeners at home an introduction of who you are and how that weekend's been for you?
Yeah, of course. Well, my name is Mike Padua. I'm a photographer. I'm a husband. I'm a dad. I have a background in graphic design, and I run. I started a brand called Shoot Film Co. And I'm reluctant to say brand because it was just like when it started, I just had a message and I had some excitement that I wanted to spread. But you know, it's like I've made like a bunch of products, like pins, patches, t-shirts, a notebook, and some other things. It's just been an exciting, and I can't believe I'm saying this, an exciting 4 years. I'm coming up on 4 years of doing this. So, and this literally started with like one patch that I wanted to give to a small handful of friends. So, but, you know, the weekend has been really fun. I've tried to meet everybody, and I want, like, if I haven't met you, I want to meet you and shake your hand. And, you know, like, I just want to be sure I'm like supporting you guys and supporting the community. And, you know, I'm just stoked on everybody's work. And, you know, I'm seeing everybody, like a lot of people's posts on Instagram, and like, you guys are taking just amazing artistic photos of just what's happening. And that's been wanting to make me up my game of just like, okay, I'll see something cool and snap it.
You know?
But like, I'll see, you know, people posting like Jonathan Paragas, he posted this beautiful portrait of Take at the top of these stairs in this hotel. There's this abandoned, it's behind this thing. It's this abandoned part of this hotel.
It's a secret.
It's very strange.
It's a secret, but I'm spilling the beans. It's behind us over here, this abandoned part of this hotel where it looks like they'd have illegal boxing matches or whatever in the 60s. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. But, you know, we snuck in there, and Jonathan posted this beautiful portrait of Take at the top of these spiral stairs. And I was like, dude, this kid is 20. What? He's making some amazing work. And I'm just seeing all your guys' work. So really inspiring, really wanting to make me up my game.
Yeah, I can't wait to see, you know, after all we all photos, develop all this film.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy.
For me, like, I guess I'll say the same thing. Just seeing, being with our people, and everybody has their camera, what they're shooting with, and everybody's talking shop and just hanging out. And it's really been, I forget that, you know, when you see somebody on the road, like on out in real life with a film camera, you're like, that's my person. They know what I'm talking about. So to be around it and just have all these people here has been just, you know, I was getting emotional about it. You know, it's been a really great weekend. So just want to thank everybody as well for being my people, I guess.
And Grant, wherever Grant is, when he started his speech,
right over there,
man. Oh, I believe it. But when you started yesterday, like, I had goosebumps immediately, and I could feel a tear in my right eye. I was like,
yeah.
Damn.
That was amazing.
This has been an awesome weekend.
Yeah, this is Phil again.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same theme. Everybody's talking family, my people, you attracted to each other because of cameras and that common thing. Social media has done a lot to help that. I know social media gets a lot of bad rap today, but for groups and stuff like that, it can be pretty amazing vehicle to share and get to know each other. Without social media, I don't know how we would have all gotten together,
right?
You know? So that aspect of it is great. And speaking of social media, our chief photographer, Trev Lee, and my dear friend, Trev Lee, has driven and guided our Instagram and social media content. And as we were sitting here, we just hit 75,000 followers.
Wow.
So. So. Anyway, Trev, say a few words.
No, I mean, it's been awesome working for, I mean, you hear this in the speech, like when they're uploading stuff like that, but for the podcast alone, you know, like I've been working for The Darkroom for 3 years now and been running the Instagram for 2.5 years, like as my full-time main focus. And
when Trev started, we had 3,600 followers.
Wow.
And like, it was never about the numbers. It was more about the engagement. Phil and them really supported me in the way, like giving me the film, the resources, the cameras to really post and educate. And it was more about the comments below and like the direct messages and interacting with people and talking with people and encouraging people. And so as that community grows, the number, you know, 75,000, that's awesome. But like, it's the engagement that's amazing to us. And it's been really cool just meeting everyone here, because I see people on their Instagram, I don't know what they look like, and then I'm like, oh, that's mm-hmm. that person that's yeah. asked me how to push this or how to meet her for that. And yeah, and I've learned just as much as hopefully as I've helped. I mean, I've learned just as much as hopefully we've taught, because everything we've taught I didn't know before this 3 years of working with the Darkroom on and doing the social media.
Man, I think we see how hard you work on that too, because we definitely get tagged in a bunch of stuff that you're always posting. And I'm glad you do that, because, you know, I wouldn't be searching for it, you know, and then I learned so much just from what you do there too. You definitely put your work into that.
Thanks. Yeah. I'm always tagging you guys because like it's cool. Like, I always tag the people in the groups that are really putting content out there, just because like I want to see everything you guys do as well. So it's one of those things where like, it's basically just like, hey, you know, like, we just posted this, like, if it's a good resource for you, use it.
Yeah. Not, oh, for sure.
And yeah,
I think next year we should have everybody's Instagram handle on our little name cards as
I've
well.
I've seen some people doing that, writing that on there. Yeah. I wish I would have thought of that.
Yeah,
that
is a good idea.
Yeah, if it's happened, I deeply apologize, because it's happened already a couple right. times where I've walked by somebody and, you know, kind of said, hey, just greeting people, but then finding out later it's someone I've talked to a ton of times on Instagram.
Yeah, that's happened.
But I don't know your faces because of Instagram. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Does anyone out there, I've talked to so many of you folks, and, you know, Chris and Tim mentioned we're like a family, and it really is true. Except, you know, the difference between like this family, my family, is like, you guys are nice.
Yeah. I want to be here.
You know? But does anyone out here have any questions for anyone up here? Yes. What's your name, sir?
Robert.
We have Robert in the audience. Yes.
I just want to thank everyone for making this happen, from, you know, Bill, I mean, to you, even coming out here. I mean, I'm a big fan of what you've been doing for many years. Like, just to have this opportunity, Mr. Padua, you know, Timothy, Mr. Matt Day.
Thanks, Robert.
Great. Anyone else have any questions? We have Mike from Ilford here. I mean, anyone have anything popped in your head over the weekend?
Someone's got questions.
Come
anything
on.
At all.
Don't be shy.
Anything at all. There we go.
There we go.
Thanks, Take.
My question is more towards Matt. When you have your family, you have some amazing photos. I have two little boys that are rambunctious, so standing there with a camera, like, hey, get in this good light, really doesn't work out for me. How do you get your kids to just stand there and not anticipate the photo or grab the Polaroid off the...
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a good question. When I find out, I'll let everyone know. But, no, my kids, they're used to me always having a camera, and so it's not really out of the ordinary. They tend to not pay attention to me. If anything, they tend to turn away because they're not interested in anything that I'm doing with a camera. So they don't really pose for me. Sometimes I can kind of make it a game where if you count to three, and when you say three, it's big and exciting, and that gets their attention, you know, that kind of thing. But for the most part, I'd really just try to be a fly on the wall and get in their space, you know. Don't be standing up, shooting down at them. Like, get on their level, play with them, interact with them, and try to not think so much. I mean, if you get to a point where you don't have to think too much about the technical stuff, you can really focus on expression and things like that. And in terms of like them in good light, I wish I always had that, but a lot of times it's, you know, in a dark kitchen area and there's just like a little bit of light off of the range, you know, on the stove. I mean, it can be any kind of situation. That's probably why HP5 at 1600 works so well for me, because I'm usually not working with much light. But yeah, being on their level and just being observant, I think, more than anything. I try not to corral them into a certain area, because if I'm doing that, I'm taking them out of their playful kind of mindset. You know, I'm trying to like order them around, and they don't really respond well to that. So their expression isn't going to be very well reflected in that. You know what I mean? So for me, I try to just be in their space and just watch. And I mean, I share a lot of those photos, and you know, like you said, I appreciate what you said about the photos, but you haven't seen the thousands of images that are either not technically good, maybe it's, you know, blurry, or it just didn't work out, or I missed the right expression to make the photo. So trust me, there's a lot of film I'm burning through just to get one good photo. So yeah, it's, you got to be patient. I mean, you're a dad, so I'm sure your patience has been improving over time, like most of us has. But yeah, just I don't know. For me, I try to just be observant and follow their lead. Yeah, yeah. Thank you for the question, by the way. Appreciate it, man.
Hello, Patrick O'Neill from Huntington Beach.
Hi, Patrick.
And I had a question for the gentleman from Ilford. And I'm an entrepreneur, I invent things, and I'm also a film photographer and love taking film. My son Jack here is 18, works in the camera store, and been shooting film since he was 14. But the thing I'm wondering about is, I'd like to invent products and develop things for the photographic industry. I invented a camera lens for the iPhone that's sold in every Apple store in the world, the whole clip. And I'm wondering if I should do products for the film photography people. I mean, you guys want products, but back to that point is, I'm curious about the history of film. Where it was at the peak? I remember seeing a number that said something like 1 billion rolls of film were sold at the peak in 1 year. And I saw something a few years ago that said it was something like 2 or 3 million were sold, rolls of film. I don't know if that's accurate, and I'm just curious about where the market was in the last 5 years and where you think it's going in the next 5.
We only know what we manufacture, and so the only way I can answer that is certainly in 1988 we manufactured way more film than we do now. I don't think it'll ever go back to those kind of levels. But what I can tell you is that, say, 10 years ago when things looked pretty rough and weren't very good, we've come a long way, and we continue to grow every single year. And I know a lot of our friendly competitors out there and what's going on in the world, and I feel like they're seeing the same thing. So I can't tell you numbers or anything like that. I can tell you our numbers are way up there. I'd be surprised if it was only 2 or 3 million rolls right now at the lowest. You're saying that was the low end is what? Yeah. You know, we just measure how many square meters we make, and we kind of judge by that and everything. So it's been great. The future looks bright to us. You know, we're looking way down the road what we're going to be doing and how to prepare for a growing market. So we're in a pretty good mood.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, your point you made about printing, yeah, that's something we don't do. And I went home last night. My son Jack, who had been here yesterday, was working in the camera store.
Yeah.
And we found a wall, and we said we should go and print a lot of the stuff that we've created and hang it on this wall. Yeah. Make a really cool thing, and so he's all into that. So thank you for getting us thinking about that.
Well, to me, it's a big deal. I'm a rep for a company, but I'm a photographer, and I was long before I worked for Ilford, and I will be long after I'm gone from Ilford. And I print. It's a lot of fun. If you've never printed in a dark room, you got to give it a shot. Mm-hmm. You're going to love it. There's nothing like spending a day in the dark room. On the other hand, if that's not what you want to do, get other people to print it, send it to a lab, you know, print it on your inkjet printer at home. I just think it's important to have prints. Give them to friends, put them in a box. People look at your prints. I have adult children. If they come home, they look at prints. They don't look at my hard drive, you know, so see what's on there. So,
yeah. If I could just add very quickly, if you're an inventor, I think that one of the biggest weaknesses that we have in terms of legacy products that we're trying to revive is scanning. There's someone here, where is that Abe? With Abe, with his app, if you talk to Abe as well, he's created a cool app where you put your negatives on a light table and you get your iPhone. I really believe that analog has to fuse with digital. Even all the last labs you're taking stuff, they're D-labs. They're taking your file, digitizing them, and then putting them on paper. So there's still a digital process. And I think we need some kind of way, even if it is an iPhone or Matt did a cool couple of videos about scanning using your camera. That's kind of a hack community, and that's great, but if we can somehow universalize like a file system that is the same across all boards, because when you use a certain camera, its color is baked in with that brand's color profile, right, contrast. And so if you're scanning with a Canon or a Nikon or a Fuji, they all look a little bit different. And so some kind of scanning system, and not just the hardware, but it has to work with the software. If we're using 20, 30-year-old technology and trying to revive them, and you know, we want new stuff coming out now, new solutions.
Awesome. Thank you. We have time for one more question from you guys. Fight it out. Rob, go ahead.
But what's up, as the Rep from Milford was talking about, you know, Crimson in the Dark is obviously such an amazing thing. We love, obviously, I'm starting to dark in San Diego, so it's a really important thing. But I kind of want to get everybody's like take on, you know, actually darker and crimson, and where you guys think that in particular is going, as opposed to, you know, like all of us share a lot of our work on Instagram, but a lot of us don't print our work as much as I think we all want to, and as much as we all would like to. So I'm just kind of curious where you guys think everything is going with the, you know, with the, all these new community darkrooms popping up all over the country. I mean, it's not just in San Diego, it's everywhere.
So. I'll hop in on that, because I used to have a dark room in our home, and I used to save basically all of my printing for every Sunday, and it was like a ritual for me where I would spend hours in the dark room either catching up on developing my film first and then printing all, you know, the rest of the day. For me, that was really enjoyable, and as time has become a very limited resource and needing an extra bathroom in our house, my dark room is no longer in the house. So I had all of my dark room equipment go to a good friend of mine, but there are places like what you're opening up and other community dark rooms, you know, all over the country. In Columbus, Ohio, we've got Midwest Photo, who has a great darkroom space, and you know, you can rent that out. And there are people that I was told fly in from New York and spend a weekend in Columbus, Ohio, just to use that darkroom, because it's cheaper for them to do that than use a darkroom in New York City. And that's, you know what I mean? Like there are options out there for people who want to print. So the idea that you can't print, that's not an excuse. You can make it work. For me personally, while I would love to spend time in the darkroom, I have an inkjet photo printer at home that I print with on a regular basis. And, you know, in a perfect world, I would love to make every single print by Silver Gelatin in the darkroom. But with my time and my resources, it just isn't really as feasible for me as it used to be. But the importance is just printing. Like Mike said, you know, regardless of the method, just print the photos, have a lab do it, buy a photo printer at home, anything like that. I want my kids to inherit all of their photos that they can hold. Yeah. And they're not going to be trying to figure out, you know, where can I find a USB port on anything anymore? Right. You know what I mean? I mean, when's the last time you saw a CD drive on a brand new computer or a floppy disk or whatever? Like, times are always going to change. So maybe your hard drive will never crash. That's great. Very unlikely, but that's great. But how likely are you going to be able to access that hard drive? You know, I don't have to plug anything into my print to see it with my own eyes. So for me personally, I say regardless of the method, always print. But there are plenty of dark rooms available all over the country that you can spend time in, even if it's just once. You know, pick your favorite, most important photos, get that onto paper.
Yeah, even when I had just a little, I also have like a big Canon inkjet printer thing. And even when I had my little like office printer, I would still print 4x6s just to have them and, you know, cherry pick 10 just to put in a little photo album to always have them. Because again, I mean, we have our negatives too, but it's, you know, I definitely think you should print. Printing is, I talk about that all the time on the show and on my YouTube and all that stuff. So
when you're looking around your house and you see an empty hard drive just sitting on the counter, you don't go through it and fan through it and waves of nostalgia pass over you.
Right.
You're just annoyed because there's a hard drive there. So
true.
Make some prints. Print your work. As somebody that teaches a lot of darkroom courses out of a rental darkroom space, I see the audience continue to get younger and younger. Like the average attendee is a 20-year-old girl, which is awesome and really encouraging to see. What needs to happen is people need to engage other photographers. That's why we're here. Mm-hmm. almost everybody, just no matter where they're from, here in California, here anywhere in North America, it seems everybody's town only has 10 or 15 other film shooters that they can engage with. We are responsible for increasing that number. Get them in the darkroom. If you show them that magic, they're hooked, even if it's that once or twice. That's the only way we can keep this kind of stuff going.
I agree.
And it's fun.
And it's fun.
It's so fun, yeah. I just want to add in something. I mean, if you can't make it to a darkroom, what my wife does, which is awesome, is photo albums, right? Now you can just have them, you send the file, you upload them digitally, and they get printed out on really nice paper and bounded. So she does these like 2017, 2016, whatever. And my daughters randomly would just grab them. They grab my, our, you know, our wedding one, our honeymoon one, and they'll just thumb through it. I mean, like crazy, you know? So that's another option too. It doesn't really get talked about, but at least do that. If you can't go to a dark room, you can't maybe have the wall space to print your work, at least get it in like a book.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's companies that make that so easy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm guilty of not doing it too. So.
Well, this has been awesome. We want to say thank you to Phil and everybody at the Darkroom for putting this together. Thank you for you guys for coming and hanging out. And thank you to our listeners at home. Thank you for all the speakers. This has been wonderful. That's it. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.